The current best-selling book on the market was also the first book to be printed with movable type. It's also the most controversial book ever published. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast. Facts which affect you. You know, many years ago, a man stood up in a certain house in France and loudly proclaimed that within 100 years, the Bible would be a book of the past. The years went by, and that man, whose name was Voltaire, wrote volumes against God and the Bible. Finally, the great unbeliever died, and in the course of time, a Bible society was established in the selfsame house where Voltaire had made his great boast. Since that time, a leather-bound set of 92 books by Voltaire was sold at public auction in England for $5. In contrast to that, the British government paid $500,000 for the Codex Sinaiticus, a manuscript of the Bible. What a study this is in contrasting values. How true are the words of the prophet, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand fast forever." Isaiah 40, verse. Today I want to show why the Bible is not just an ordinary book. First, I want us to think about the authorship of the Bible. It was actually written by over 40 different persons in all stations of life, extending over a period of some 1,600 years. Now, these writers of different generations and different occupations, writing at times even in a different language, produced a work of 66 parts. And all of these parts deal with the same great doctrine: God, man, morality, salvation, and immortality. Now, friends, what kind of composition would you expect to get from this arrangement? Even men of the same generation can't agree on the most elementary questions, but it would be inconceivable to think in an ordinary book written over a period of 1,600 years by such varied authors as a king and a shepherd, etc. Yet the Bible speaks in perfect harmony on the most controversial issues. There's not a false or discordant note in any of the great fundamental truths found in it. Now, I say that this is a miracle of the first magnitude that no man's wisdom can explain. Nobody today would think of using a science book 50 years old or a book of medicine published 20 years ago. A psychology book is out of date after only a few years. H.G. Wells actually wrote a book, The Outline of History, and had to revise it before it was published. But the Bible has talked about all these subjects, and it still remains the standard guide among men for all these centuries. Now, friends, let me ask you something. What has preserved it from the superstitious ideas and fanciful science, so-called, of those past ages? It would simply astound us to know what wild, erroneous beliefs were commonplace in the days when the Bible was written. And yet today, even its scientific utterances can be tested and verified by modern research. The only explanation for this miracle is the Bible answer itself, found in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, for hundreds of years, skeptics and unbelievers have mocked and ridiculed the Word of God, and yet they've never been able to disprove one iota of its record. On the other hand, one after another of their charges have been answered by the stones which speak. Recent discoveries of archaeologists have left the scoffers silent. The ancient sites have yielded their secrets to the spade and vindicated the Scriptures in every respect. I want us to think for a moment today of the oft-repeated charge that Moses could never have written the first five books of the Bible because the alphabet had not been invented at that time. Now, for years, it was believed that the Phoenicians originated the alphabet much later than the time of Moses. But then the Sinai Peninsula was explored and excavated by a group of archaeologists, and on the walls of an ancient copper mine, they found the remnants of an alphabet right there in the Sinai Peninsula that dated from 1500 B.C., the very time Moses was right there herding sheep in the same area. Now, of course, no one dares to question the ability of Moses to write. We know that he had access to the alphabet and all the other tools for writing. Another favorite charge against the Bible had been concerning the record of the Hittite nations. You see, friends, no secular evidence of their existence had been found until fairly recently. But now the stones have spoken about a mighty race called the Hittites, and the Bible story is vindicated once more. The first archaeologist to accept the challenge of the higher critic was a Frenchman by the name of Botta. In 1840, he headed the first expedition to dig in the ruins for proof of the Bible's authenticity. At that time, one of the loudest criticisms against the Bible centered on the scriptural account of King Sargon II of Assyria. Since no other outside record of his existence had been found except in the Bible, the skeptics charged that it was all fabricated and just a part of the biblical myth. But in the providence of God, Botta, in his first excavation, started digging down into the ruins of the ancient site of Khorsabad and emerged into the private library of, believe it or not, King Sargon II. There were thousands of clay tablets containing the personal correspondence of that king. So the stones had spoken and the critics were silenced once again. Well, the most recent and doubtless the most important discovery that throws the most light on the authority of the Bible was made in 1947. In a cave near the Dead Sea, some ancient scrolls were found rolled up in a clay pot. One of those scrolls proved to be a manuscript of the complete book of Isaiah. In 1952, it was translated and published. And this ancient Isaiah dated all the way back almost to the time of Christ. And friends, it agreed in practically every letter with the Isaiah in our Bible today. No longer can it be charged that the context has been mutilated through much copying and translating. There's just one way, really, that the unbeliever could disprove the Bible. Let him show where one of the dozens of prophecies of that book have failed, or let him find another book which has proven equally accurate in foretelling the future. Right here, I want to mention some things which have confounded the doubters for generations. The great city of Tyre had been growing for 2,000 years until she was the mistress of the sea and rival even to Rome itself. Tyre was the commercial center of the world. At the midst of her prosperity, Ezekiel the prophet came along and made some very sober predictions about the future of that city. Here they are found in Ezekiel 26, 4, 5, and 12. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches and a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. Now there it is, friends. And soon after the prophecy was written, Nebuchadnezzar came along and besieged the powerful city for 13 years and left it in ruins. Yet the exact word of the prophet had not been fulfilled. The dust had not been scraped up, and the timbers were not laid under the water. Then 2.5 centuries passed by. Finally, Alexander the Great came marching into the east in 332 B.C., He came there to the ruins of old Tyre and saw an island there just a half mile offshore that he wanted to occupy. So he set his soldiers to building a causeway through the sea, and all the timbers of old Tyre were cast into the water to build that causeway. In fact, materials were so scarce that the workmen had to scrape down into the very dust to meet their needs, and every letter of Ezekiel's prophecy was fulfilled. But now we come to the most amazing part of that story in Ezekiel 26:14. Thou shalt be built no more. That is what God said. Now here's a way, my friends, to prove the Bible untrue. Let all the skeptics contribute a dollar and send an expedition to rebuild old Tyre. It's a fertile place, a perfectly inhabitable place, but to this day it remains as God said it would remain, only a place for fishermen to dry their nets. I stood there on those desolate rocks and actually saw the fishermen as they mended and dried their nets on that barren spot. Now, just 30 miles from Tyre was a small declining city of Sidon. The prophet also spoke against it, but not of total destruction. Notice the words of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 20. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Sidon, and prophesy against it, for I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets. Now, friends, this city was to suffer from the sword, you'll notice, but it was always built back. In fact, it remains to this day with over 10,000 inhabitants. I drove through that thriving city on my way to visit the abandoned site of Tyre. Now, why did the prophet say that the strong city would become extinct and the weak city remain? God had spoken, and herein we see the power and authority of the Word of God. Now let's consider something even more amazing. Turn your eyes to Babylon, the mightiest, wealthiest city that ever existed. It was the capital of the world and located in the most fertile valley on the face of the earth at that time. Yet, as it rose to power, Isaiah the prophet spoke these words, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Isaiah 13:19. Oh, how they must have laughed at Isaiah for this incredible prediction. But he was even more explicit, friends. He went on in verse 20 and said, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation." And then it seems that God remembered the scoffers and the doubters who might exist down in our day, and so he made it even more exact. He said, "Neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there." Then Jeremiah came along a little bit later and added something to what Isaiah had said, and he wrote, "And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing, without an inhabitant." Now, that's Jeremiah 51:37. Now, friends, what happened to that cultured golden city that once dominated the earth? It's now a wild, desolate, uninhabited pile of ruins. Never before or since has any such calamity overtaken any such city. I'll never forget the profound impressions that came over me when I walked among those ancient ruins of Babylon. The foundation walls can still be seen there, and part of the incomparable palace with its hanging gardens are still discernible. But it's now silent, abandoned, and inhabited only by wild animals. Oh, how true and accurate God's word is. The Great Wall of China is still standing, though it was built before Babylon, and with much weaker materials. But God said in Jeremiah 51:58, "The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken," and so they have been, and the infidel is proved wrong, friends. The Bible is true, but the skeptics and the agnostics have proven untrue. Well, now, don't these facts of today, my friends, increase your faith in the Bible? Now, this is the reason that the Bible and the Bible only is our textbook of truth on the Amazing Facts broadcast. Listen, friends, I have no other message to preach than the message of this book. And I'm not going to be entertaining anybody by anything I say on the Amazing Facts daily broadcast. It will always be coming out of the one great source book of authority, the Holy Bible. And today's broadcast has been dedicated to showing you that this book is infallible. It's not written by man. Even though about 40 different authors had a part in writing it, the real author of it was the Holy Spirit. And that's why the book is true in every detail of it. And all the prophecies have been accurately fulfilled right down through the years of history. And now this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.